coast to coast on the World Wide Web. This is Trot Radio on standardbredcanada.ca. I'm Norm Borg. Is there light at the end of the tunnel for Alberta Racing? There have been some big changes at UHA, that's United Horsemen of Alberta, the group which has been trying to put up a track at Balzac for some time now. They're now talking 2012 as a possible opening date for this new, and I should point out, scaled-down track. How are they making out? How close are they to that goal? We'll find out on Trot Radio. Darcy Marler is president of the UHA, the United Horsemen of Alberta, the group that's been trying to put up the track at Balzac for some time now, and of late, it's safe to say, Darcy, you've been taking a lot of publicity hits from the racing public at least. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, and I can understand that. Certainly, we've probably been guilty in the past of over-promising and under-delivering, so we've tried really hard the last year and a half to kind of fly under the radar and get our own house in order, which we've done, and actually we've got some good news. Last month, last year in September, we went into creditor protection,
right,
court protection, and this last Monday, so a week ago, we were actually in court for the last time, and we successfully exited out of court protection. So
yeah, now I understand about 67% of your debt has been paid off. You still have another 35 to go, and on top of that, you've got to raise close to $60 million. That's what you projected, apparently, to put up the track. And you've got a short period of time to do it in, right?
Right.
Okay.
Well, and again, we think we are being realistic. There's a couple of steps to that. We still own land in Balzac. We did trade some away to Ivanhoe Cambridge, the developers that built the Cross Iron Mall.
In return for debt, right?
As a form of debt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And also in return for them finishing the infrastructure in the area. There was a lot of road work. There's a new bridge over the main highway between Edmonton and Calgary that we had to build. And we were partners from the beginning with Ivanhoe in getting all that done. Part of the agreement, the land transfer agreement, was that they would go ahead and complete our section of the transfer at their cost. So I have no costs going forward for any infrastructure in the area, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
We still have 112 acres of land, which is where the barns are. We've got six barns that are 95% complete. So if you drive by, you can actually see the barns. Of the 112 acres that we own, 75 acres are not needed for racing operations, and we'll be selling those. That land, that 75 acres, has been appraised at more than what the current debt is. So you mentioned that we still have $30 million in debt. That's true. But we've got a new loan in place with a two-year term. Over the next 2 years, we intend to sell the excess land, and that's how the debt will be paid for. So
okay. The
debt is, we've eliminated 67%, as you said, and the rest is under control. We've got a plan of how to deal with that.
Okay, so once you sell off that extra, 112 acres, you're done with your debt, and now the job of trying to raise, $60
million? $60 to $65 million, yeah. So 30 of that is to buy back the land for the racetrack that we need, that we traded with Ivanhoe. So Ivanhoe has been excellent. They've been very friendly to us and given us every opportunity. So, by even giving us this option, that was over and above what they had to do. So we thank them for that.
Now, as I understand pardon my interrupting. As I understand it, that parcel of land has got a time limit on it under which UHA can buy it back. That drop dead deadline is when? February or March of next year?
February 1st of 2011. So we've got about 6 months left. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, and basically you've got to find $60 million in investors, I guess.
Right. We'd always kind of planned on equity investors and debt financing, construction financing from a bank and land sales to finance this. We realize now that with the time frame and the amount we need, that's probably not going to happen. So we're putting more of our focus now into actually looking for partners, joint ventures in either the gaming industry or the hotel industry. So we feel that's probably where the majority of the funding is going to come from. And we do have some very very positive, we've had a lot of, or we're in discussions, serious discussions with two or three gaming groups and another couple of hotel groups that are fairly far along. And I can, know that, as I said, we've promised things before and we've been good with the hype before. But I can honestly tell you that there are serious discussions, and they are, and we are optimistic that they'll lead to something.
Now, as far as hooking up with gaming groups go, does it not get complicated there? Because as I understand it, UHA has the a grandfathered license, as it were, to conduct slots and racing. If you hook up with a gaming group, are you going to have to apply for a brand new license and do that at a time when the province has issued a moratorium on new licenses?
No, we don't feel so. We've got the racing license, and we've got the slot license, as you mentioned. There's no other licenses of any kind being granted in the province of Alberta right now. In addition to that, we've got the largest unprotected or unused gaming area in Alberta. There's no other casinos or any gaming facilities from basically northern Calgary all the way to Red Deer, if you're familiar with the area.
Yes,
so that's a large stretch. So it's very attractive for us for gaming groups. As you say, in an era where there's no moratorium on new licensing,
so the gaming groups
partner with us to get something.
Right, I was going to say, so the gaming groups would basically be under your umbrella. There would be no need to apply for a new license, and you know, once you get that partnership firmed up, you'll be on your way.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, and we certainly, you know, the aim is probably over time to actually go back and apply for, you know, tables and pokers as well, but. To get started day one, we don't feel that it's necessary at all.
Well, I wish you the best of luck in getting tables at a racetrack, as I can tell you here in Ontario, a number of tracks, at least two, have tried, and it is a long time in coming. It's just amazing, the bureaucracy. But, okay, so fair to say no racing in 2011, right?
Guaranteed, yeah.
Guaranteed. But you, if you continue at this rate, and I realize you don't want to overhype, but you know, if the partnerships with the gaming companies come through between now and whatever it is in 2011, February, March, you might have shovels in the ground sometime next spring?
We would, yeah. Basically, as soon as the frost comes out of the ground, which here in Alberta can be any time. But theoretically, April or May. We'd be in the ground and talking to the construction guys and our engineers. The scaled down version of the grandstand that we have, we'd be up and running, or it would be built in spring of 2012. As I said, the barns are 95% done. They just need the flooring and some stalls put in. The track itself is rough graded. We're going to have a one mile track.
Yeah, you were going to have two, weren't you? One was a one-mile track, and the other was what, 5/8 or something?
We were planning on a one-mile thoroughbred track and a 7/8 on the infield, standardbred track. Fortunately, that'll be phase two now. The $65 million budget only calls for one track to be built, which we'll share between the two breeds.
Okay, good.
We definitely plan. I know you're more the standardbred side. We definitely stand on or. I plan to, you know, be equal with thoroughbreds and standardbreds and not just focus on one or the other. So those are, the track is already rough graded, the barns are fairly close, so, you know, we're 4 to 5 months away from being able to you know, train horses and practice. Mm-hmm. It's the grandstand that needs a little bit more time, but we'd have it up by, the construction people would say if we were in the ground in April, we already did have some foundation work done back in 08 when we did have when we started building, so there is already, you know, a basis to start from. We'd be up construction wise we should be January, February next year. If we partner with a hotel group and there's actually a hotel going up, then we'd probably be May-ish of 2012.
That's when racing would start.
Well, theoretically, if we had if we knew that for sure, definitely, you know, there's going to be racing in 2012 and the track and the barns are ready, you know, for a couple of months, you know, we'd probably be able to work out something with Horse Racing Alberta like they've done with the Lacombe track where, you know, we kind of just make it work for a couple of months until the slots and the REC comes on board.
So. Mm-hmm. Okay.
If we get that close, I'm sure we can work something out.
Okay. And the grandstand, as far as scaling down the grandstand, it'll still have a clubhouse and so on.
The original version of, I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but it was quite the Taj Mahal.
Yeah.
So basically, the entire project was $220 million back in 2008. The REC itself was $110 million. We've scaled that back to a construction value of about $13 million. So you can see we've really done well. Basically, all we did is we chopped off the upper floor. So we took out, you know, most of the tiered dining and the bleacher seating, uh-huh. which, as you know, don't quite get used as much these days as they did in the past.
Right.
But we kept all of the revenue streams, so the slots, the off-track betting, the simulcast, and the food and beverage. So basically we eliminated a lot of the cost and still kept the revenue. So
there will be a dining room, clubhouse of sorts anyway.
There will, yeah, and we still, we're raised up above the track, so there's still, you know, even though it's, you know, I call it the bungalow now, but even though it's a one-story building, it's still got very good sight lines, and there shouldn't be any problem there. We've still got bleacher seating for 1,000 in front, and okay. the paddock and ring and everything, so it's still, I think, the best match of cost efficiency with still functionality, and it's still going to look good and something we can all be proud of.
So, light at the end of the tunnel?
We didn't really want to come out and do a lot of public interviews this week, but it just kind of happened that way. Like I said, we're not making promises anymore. We're just giving people the facts, and then they can draw their own conclusions. But given what's happened and where we've been over the last year, you know, we are very, you know, guardedly optimistic that yes, we are going to actually be racing horses in Waldeck.
Darcy Marler, president of United Horsemen of Alberta, thank you so much for coming on Trot Radio.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for your interest in the project.
Not a problem. Take care now.
Okay.
Bye-bye.